Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Did break even, and I feel good about that. And what, you know, what transpired from a motorcycle accident and, you know, a bunch of scotch and rum, you know, made me a better designer. I think that's a pretty,
that's pretty cool.
Welcome to Game Dev Advice, the Game Developers Podcast. I'm your host, John J.P. Podlasic. I've worked at 10 different game companies, starting back in 1989 with the TurboGrafx-16. Over the decades, I've developed games like Mortal Kombat, Avengers Initiative, Beavis and Butthead, and numerous others. I now work for a startup called Level X. But this podcast isn't about me. It's about you and the game development community. So if you have questions or ideas, give a call, 224-484-7733, or go to the gamedevadvice.com website. I have a great episode for you today, so let's kick things off with the new Game Dev Advice. J.J. Williams has been in this circus for over 15 years, surviving four studio closures, including his own. He's a designer that's had the privilege to work at studios like Midway Games, Disney Interactive, and NetherRealm Studios / WB Games. He's also made a lot of great friends along the way. He shipped his own game and works on a mobile game that has hundreds of thousands of players a day. Mortal Kombat and Disney Infinity are just a few of the major games he's worked on. He's done combat, level, system, and narrative design, to name a few, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. He started at the absolute bottom with no knowledge about this industry, and through hard work became a designer that leads teams and directs outsourcing. Plus, he still freaking loves what he does every day. Let's welcome JJ. Hey, JJ. Thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here, John.
Awesome. So let's get started. Like, what's your current role right now?
So I am an advanced designer at NetherRealm. I'm working on both mobile and console projects over there. And it's exciting because I'm working not only with people in the studio in Chicago, but also outsourcers, you know, in various countries and whatnot. So it's always an exciting day every day we go in because you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, no, it's having that variety, having different time zones and just having all that stuff coming, I'm sure keeps it interesting.
You know, it's a little bit better than the Japan one that we had to deal with at Disney.
Yeah, yeah, there were some challenges with that. That's JJ and I worked at Wide Load Disney Interactive, and yeah, we were working on a game at one time, which I guess we should probably keep
that's been let rats. Out.
It's been let out. Yeah, no, yeah, it's been out. Yeah, it's
Kingdom Hearts. I'll say it. Send the legal team after me because I have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Kingdom Hearts game. It was challenging times, but hey, I'm glad the IP is doing well and they're still doing good because
yeah. Looks like that game sold well, so I think they're doing all right.
All right, way back machine time. So tell me, how did you get started in the video game industry?
Oh, jeez.
We know each other almost 20 years, and I know you were in it before then, so yeah.
So let's just say I started my journey in 2001, where I already had a business degree, and I was working as a pretty much a headhunter, and I was not very happy. I was pretty miserable with my current state of employment.
Right.
And really, it was like, what drives me? What is it, what I would like? And it's like, you know, something I should have done probably before college, but whatever. You know, so I decided to put a pause in my life, essentially, and go back to school and work full time as a bartender and get my art degree to get into games, which I had no clue on what positions there were or what you actually do in games. All I know is that cool stuff comes out of it. This is before like your podcast and stuff like that, right? Like,
yeah, right.
This is like, hey, Metal Gear Solid is awesome. You know, Final Fantasy VII is amazing. What if I want to do this? I have no idea what I could do here. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at art. I guess I'll do that, you know? And
yeah,
that's how it all that's how it started. The snowball started. Let's just say that it started right. rolling.
So you bartended, you went to school, you graduated. And what was the first, you were at Stainless, right? Was that the first game company?
No, actually it's funny is that my buddy, Eric Zales, NetherRealm, got me my first gig at Studio Gigante as a freelance animator.
And oh, wow.
Freelance animated on WrestleMania 21. Sorry, everyone, for that. It wasn't my animations. Right. I worked on the Victory animation. So that was like my first, like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Vision into, so like, you know, John Tobias was in there.
Yeah. Josh Sway. Yeah. Todd Papaleo, some bunch of people I know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like, so, you know, I was just like this bright eyed, like, I have no idea. And the thing is, I still didn't know how a game is made at all. Like, mm-hmm. what? And it's like, hey, these are designers. I'm like, oh,
that's what they do.
You guys do. And that's, right. you know, it was crazy. You know, it's just so literally my journey was like someone bumbling in smoke in the dark, just trying to figure out where to go, essentially. So
exactly like my journey. And yeah, and that's how it was, especially back then. There was no schools really dedicated to it. There was no information. It was just, yeah, just kind of roll your own and figure it out as you go.
Yeah, just kind of like, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, just kind of knocking at doors and just, you know, I have this degree in a pretty par, you know, demo reel. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a job? And then, you know, so that contract ended. And then I went over, moved to Boston, actually. So mm-hmm. I moved to Boston to work at Stainless Steel Studios. That was like, I would say my official first gig. And that was like a QA / junior artist. So they were charging me for, you know, they were pretty much giving me, you know, a QA salary, but I was doing junior art stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to say I did all the grounding textures in that game. Very proud of myself.
Which game was that? They were big on PC games. I remember
that. Yeah, that was, yeah. So yeah, that was like a PC RTS game. And uh-huh. it was like, hey, you can be Egypt or Greece. You could be all these great civilizations and fight, essentially. So mm-hmm. it was kind of interesting. And they had a pretty cool like single player campaign. But as you'll see, a theme that's going to happen in this podcast is that that studio went under. So I had to survive that calling of that studio. So funny thing is, so I had a, you know, a job like inquiry from Harmonix for Rock Guitar Hero 2. And it was in my spam filter the whole time. So if you can believe that. So that's
thanks, Yahoo. Thanks, Yahoo spam filters. Hotmail. Whoever the hell you were.
GoDaddy. I'm sorry, GoDaddy. You really you took a bite out of my pocket there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But you know, it worked out because that's when I actually met you and was at Midnight, right? Like, so I was QA. And the reason why I think for the most part is because I knew the Stainless Steel game, Rise and Fall Civilizations at War. Midway was publishing that. And no one knew how the game was supposed to work because Midway closed that studio down. Essentially, they were supposed to give them money and then they had to close down. Essentially, Midway didn't close them down, but there was, it was part of the, you know, situation there. So they had me like testing the game while working on and checking it out and explaining to the people in California how that game was supposed to work.
Hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you got involved on all the Mortal Kombat's there.
Yeah. So then I was just in the Mortal Kombat tester. You know, tester crew.
Right.
Yeah. So I worked on, you know, the PSP title Unchained and then rolled on to actually helped out with Ballers, but I'm not on it, but I was helping out with, was it Ballers 2?
Mm-hmm.
So helped out with that, with the whole like boardwalk going to all the games and I played the car wash game about, I would say 300 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rhythm game.
Right.
Benyaki would have a good laugh out of that one. And then what happened was then I got over to Mortal Kombat Armageddon. So that was when I became the Conquest guy. So I could tell you
where the kimchi made me sick. The kimchi made me sick. That's the beginning of the Conquest where the player gets sick from the bad kimchi.
And then we, you know, Taven and Dagon and their little, you know, spat in our, you know, Conquest.
Right.
And, that was kind of like, so I would hang out with one of the designers on that team and we would just, he would just bring me in and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And we'd chat about placement of items. So I know exactly where Liu Kang's armband is and all that good stuff. You know, so it was like my first taste of like, huh, I do like this design thing. And also, I was modding quite a bit on Unreal. So that Unreal 2004, right. I was doing some levels in Stainless, and we would have a game night every Thursday, and we were playing all these Unreal, like, homebrew levels. And I was playing those, and my levels started rising to the top, so to speak, in terms of, like, people were on, this is really fun. Let's keep playing this level. So I was starting to get that rush of, like, I think I know what I want to do here.
Yeah.
So
clicked.
It totally clicked. And then what happened was openings came open for Stranglehold.
Okay.
So that was my first design title, was Midway.
Right.
John Woo presents Stranglehold. So I was a level designer on that. And that was like, I was hooked. I was like, this is it. I finally figured it out. It only took, 4 years? And here I am, figured out exactly what I want to do here. So, and then went over to Voxter Games, because Midway was, I didn't go through the closing of Midway, but I felt it. And after through the Stainless Steel closing, I was like, I feel something's wrong here. So I left
Spider Sense is tingling. Right.
By the way, Spider Senses didn't really work on that one, because I went to Voxter, and that closed a year later. But I was a level designer there. And this podcast should just be called The Closures. And then what happened was, like, a year and a couple months after I went to Voxter, working on an unreleased title called The Four Horsemen.
Okay.
Yeah, they closed it. So then that's when my Disney tenure started. So I was a senior designer over at Disney. I helped out a little bit, not much, but with Guilty Party, that, you know, detective game on the Wii, which was really fun. That was real. And then helped start, I worked on a prototype team with Tom Eastman. He was on, you know, he was on your podcast.
Yeah. Tom.
I got to work with Fribbles. You know, I get to work all with, you know, I get to talk all about these people that I got to work with. They're awesome. They still are awesome, I should say. And, you know, Eric Huang and all these other, you know, incredibly talented individuals. And we went and made a couple prototypes. Some of them, you know, didn't even make it to, you know, Disney in terms of, like, hey, do we even want to make this? But worked on a couple. They were, you know, a Kinect game we worked on. But what happened was, after all these trials and tribulations, we wound up making, you know, Avengers Initiative.
Where we worked on that together.
That's where you and I worked together. Had some great times working there. And then we got to work on the now out in the open Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts Mobile.
And then Disney decided to shut us down then.
I remember, like, everyone's like, ah, they're too little. That's too small of a studio. It's never going to happen. They'll leave Wide Load alone. And then I get a text from a dude in Glendale, said the missiles have launched the night before. And I'm like, and then I walk in, and it's like, I see HR people from LA. It's going down. Everyone in the back room, all the leads.
Do you remember I was coming in late on the train, and you were like, our joke was like, is so-and-so there?
Yeah. And
like, yes, this person is actually here. And I'm like, well, that's it. Game over. Okay, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble. HR is here.
And then the resume's flowing right away.
No, that resume is after we all got drunk at lunch and then came back and tried to drink more and finish our liquor cabinet.
We did have to finish the whole liquor cabinet. We could not let that go to waste.
Yeah. I think you and I did a good job in the Tito's there.
And I helped Roland, lead artist over there, I helped him finish that bullet bottle. And we were feeling good, but bad at the same time.
And then the next day, hangovers, bring your orange crates and pack it up. But
I can laugh now.
We can laugh. Well, time, tragedy plus time equals comedy. And, and plus, you know, to Disney's credit, it was the opposite of Telltale. They gave us 60-day severance, full benefits, full pay, plus severance kicked in after that. So,
They pulled some strings.
They took care of it. You know, they did it right.
I made a trip, you know, and they have a couple of benefits for, you know, employees working there. And they gave me all those benefits still, even though, like, I wasn't part of the studio anymore. And that was awesome. Really, they did treat us really well when they closed us and chopped us our head off.
Yeah. which has happened to me also many times. But yeah, it's usually the big companies that do it, but then they also take care of you when they do it. But yeah.
So that was the, so three closures in.
Right.
And also I made my own game on the side.
Oh, right. Yeah, your pirate game.
Yeah, I mean, my pirate game was very loosely based off of my father's boat being sunk by Haitian pirates, which was fun. You know, that's a Polygon article if you guys want to check it out. It's legit.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, so, you know, that game was produced by Motorcycle Accident Money and about five glasses of scotch. So that's how that game started.
Yeah.
And then, here I am at NetherRealm. You know, I was part of the mobile team. I'm still part of the mobile team, and I'm working on some other projects over there as well. But,
You've been there for how long? I'd say, five years. Wow.
And my curse has not come with me. So
right.
That's nice. I shook it off finally.
Right, right. You're no longer the Black Widow spider. You've shook the curse.
I finally, I think it was because I got married and stuff that I kind of like broke the curse. It was like a Disney movie. You got married.
Right. The curse, right. The demons are gone and you're free now to stay in business.
To have insurance all the time instead of scurrying to get insurance while you're at Cobra.
Yeah. Pain through the nose. Well, yeah, the funny thing too is like I talked to a lot of people and they all have the same perspective. It was like, oh yeah, I was at the studio and it closed. And I went to this other studio and it closed. And everyone thinks it's kind of unique to them, but it's actually pretty common, right? Because the industry is so volatile and it is, at the end of the day, it's a hits-driven industry and you don't have the hits. At some point, the pipers do and then you either thrive or you get shut down. So
yeah, I mean, I don't want to say any names or of some studios, but some studios that have been profitable have been let go by bigger, corporations and stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's shocking that they shut that down,
Right, right. So, you're right, too. It's not even, you don't know enough hits. It's like maybe the hits aren't big enough or some other reasons are in play. So,
right.
You don't get in this industry for the stability. That's for sure. No.
I want to say it feels better, but I don't know. Maybe because I'm just, it's been nice that I've been, in a very stable environment, but it does feel like I'm not, maybe it's just 2 years, it's been like 2 years, at least in my mind, that I haven't felt like a major studio has been, taken down. Now, this could just be short-term memory loss, but it feels like it hasn't anything major lately.
Or at least in the Chicago area. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
Well,
he's like, telltale.
Three of us.
Yeah.
We're on a nice little island here in Chicago.
Yeah, little island of stability. And you see about all the other studios and other parts of the country getting blasted. So hopefully that trend continues. So what do you wish you had known when you'd started back in this crazy journey of the smoke-filled fog discovery?
That I didn't need to know all that stuff at art school, right? Like, it definitely helped me. But my goodness, I could have saved myself an art degree if I just knew get into QA and start grinding as soon as possible, not saying like degrees in game development is a bad idea, but it's more of just, you got to get in there as soon as possible because you need to start getting the experience and like getting to know people. Cause I really do believe that this industry is so small that if you do well and then you actually keep your nose clean and, and actually are nice and you talk to people and present yourself.
Right.
You'll be remembered for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I say that on my show all the time. It's like, if you work hard and you're a decent person to be around and stuff like that, it's your reputation and your reputation predicts your future success because people like know and trust you and then you'll be working in other places. So yeah.
I had the pleasure of presenting in DePaul a little bit. They haven't asked me back. Okay, so whatever. They didn't ask me back. But, they asked me to do a presentation. But the good thing about it was, I got to tell future game developers, like, you'll get there. But also be nice and work hard. And it'll fall into place most of the time. Like, maybe it won't be the place you think, but it will happen. In games, doors are constantly shutting in your face and you gotta, overcome that, especially in design.
Yeah.
I wish I was a programmer sometimes just because it seems like everybody wants a programmer, but it's like designers, like, it's like a gladiator ring because you're fighting against a bunch of other people. So don't take it personal. You know, that's another thing, is like, just don't take it personal, just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's business, and maybe this isn't the right fit for you, and it doesn't speak to your skills or it's a different opportunity for somebody else, and then find somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
Plus, designer is a very wide range of skills, right? You can be system designer, level designer,
you can go all kinds of roles. Go all over the place, right? I mean, there's narrative,
narrative.
You said level, systems, combat. And another thing is, it could be, some studios I've been involved with, they don't even call them designers. They're like world architects. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what is that? That sounds so much better. Level designer.
Right.
They got just different naming conventions, but you just gotta, for any budding designer out there, just keep going and don't let the doors coming, slam in your face, like, stop you. Just, persevere, be tenacious.
Yeah. Be tenacious and look for other opportunities and, go to GDC and do things like that. And just, if that's your passion and that's where you're going to put your energy, just stay focused on that. And looking for opportunities. And sometimes you do a lateral move or something different just to keep learning and growing. And, you went into QA and then that turned into a design, right?
So, right. I mean, that's doors open just by being there, and just, mm-hmm. that's why it's like, a lot of people go, hey, how do I start in? And, the GDCs I've been to, I always love bumping into these people that are grinding. They're just like, hey, how do I get in this industry? I just got a degree. Mm-hmm. They're out promoting themselves, which is like fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Good for them. And one thing I always tell them is, it's like, as soon as you get that QA position that you can get a hold of, take it, because that is just industry, experience. And the funny mm-hmm. thing is, you might find out that you don't want to be in this industry.
Yeah.
You might right. find out that, hey, this isn't really awesome as I thought it was going to be, like, politics,
making the sausage, right? As we say. Yeah.
Sausage making can be scary to some. And I met some really good people that, or like, I don't like this at all, and it's like, I understand.
Yeah.
Usually designers kind of figure that out through college, like, mm-hmm. Capstones and all that good stuff. But like some really fantastic artists that are like, forget it, I'm out,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get into QA or get that entry level design role and see if it works out for you.
For sure. And then the thing is, if you're in QA, I guarantee a designer is going to come and talk to you and, mm-hmm. It'd be like, hey, what do you think about this? Or I do this all the time. Like, what do you guys think? Or what is this bug about? And yada, yada, yada. And it is a time to kind of go, hey, I am so-and-so. Don't be over, zealous.
Right.
Be like, hey, I'll show you it right here. Here's this bug. Or, hey, this is the, I was thinking like, an opinion, but don't be too like,
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Mama. Don't be a creeper about it, but
exactly.
Suggest things and
write a debug and, write a debug, a low priority bug. I'm sorry.
Low priority. Right.
Like,
right.
Hey, I was thinking like this might be too hard, right. And then, but also give a follow up on it. Right. Just so, this is too hard. This is bad. It's like, I was thinking like, this is too hard. How about you, maybe the damage is too high or something.
Right. Do X instead of Y and make a short suggestion. There was one game. I can't remember the game we worked on where there was a QA person. He wrote every bug is like an A and they were all like commentary things, and it was
I think that was an outsourcer.
Yeah. It was some outsourcer. Yeah.
So, and every bug. Oh gosh.
God. It was
it was an animal's name. Wasn't it like
some weird name?
I don't want to say duck. I don't know.
Yeah, it was during the midway days. And it was always A bugs. They talk like they're on crack and they speak too fast and you should do this. And A bug. It's like, dude, it's not an A bug. It's like, classify it properly. Then give some constructive criticism and we might listen. But yeah, he was just too over the top. It was just, funny and annoying at the same time.
I don't want to say the guy's name. I think I remember it now. And yes, that person definitely thought their bugs were the highest of priority.
Right. Yeah.
Even though they might not have been that high.
Yeah. A bugs means something's crashing in the game. Exploding. Like, it's not commentary bugs.
Explodes, for no reason other than, just I hit the button and then it's like, no, it's not of that caliber.
Right, right. So yeah, don't be a goof about it.
You know, I grew up making bugs from you, John. You taught me how to write bugs, so I I'm on the same wavelength as you.
Yeah, I had my days at the QA too. So yeah, you learn a lot in the trenches there, you know, talking with designers and engineers a lot. So yeah.
Could I take one moment to tell a story about you, John?
Sure.
Okay. So essentially, I remember working on Armageddon. Okay. And this is like when we were crunching really hard. Mm. And you came in and sat down next to us and crunched with the whole QA team. Like producer John Podlasic, the producer of Mortal Kombat, came down into the QA lab and sat down for 2 hours, you know, washing down a Red Bull next to us and playing games and getting bugs with us. And just, I was like, this guy, it's like being in a foxhole and the sergeant comes in. And it's just like, it's okay, guys, we got this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're on like it's like 2 a.m. And John Pulaski sitting here just telling me like, what, if you could check this bug out? I'm like, actually, we didn't even catch that, you know? So you've always been a grinder, man. You've always done it.
It's
made it happen.
I was just laser focused and we got to ship this thing. So I was like,
Got to
ship, and I can QA too. So like go in there and work with the team. So do that donut run over there on Western Avenue and bring back the Dunkin'.
Get some hot dogs, hot dogs that right before it closes, Yep.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. It was interesting.
You're like, I'm glad, like you said, right? Time and misery equals comedy.
Yeah,
you
know? right. Tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yes, yeah. There you go.
So as a designer now, like what kind of advice, because you're a, you know, advanced designer, what kind of advice would you give other designers like in the middle of their career or a couple of years into their career, like on the design side, like what kind of stuff would you tell them?
You know, it's one of those things is, you know, I would say a new designer, you know, that's new to the scene is, mm-hmm. Take whatever you can get, even if it's something you don't really enjoy too much, just take it so you get the experience, because you might find out that you do love it, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't find myself much of a writer. And then all of a sudden I was working on Mortal Kombat Mobile.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do this quest mode, right? And it's a bunch of like, it's pretty much a short story, essentially.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I wanted to do this, and then I find out that there's really nobody that's going to write this for me. So I started doing all the writing. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, the only experience I have of writing is a creative writing class when I went to business school. So I was like, okay, this is not going to go great. But I found out that I actually really did enjoy it quite a bit. And I actually, Dominic, you know, the cinematic director, the director of all narrative in terms of NetherRealm.
Yeah.
Him and I just were riffing ideas, and it was like an incredibly enjoyable experience. Now, if you asked me that before I started, I would say, you know, hell no.
Right.
But now I'm like, you know, that was really fun. I had a good time doing that. So as a new designer, don't be like, you know, it's combat or nothing, or it's levels or nothing. You know, I would say be open to anything and just embrace whatever is thrown at you, and just, you know, and tell your boss, you know, thank you. Can I have another? You know, and just be hungry for whatever you got, because that's going to help you propel into the next level.
Okay, quick question break. What are your thoughts so far? Do you have a topic idea, a question to ask, or a guest suggestion? Let me know at 224-484-7733 or on the gamedevadvice.com website. Yeah, and getting that experience, and A, you have that experience, you've done it before, and then B, it kind of helps shape what area you want to specialize in. So
right,
branch out, and you can kind of, you know, add some more, some arrows to your quiver there that you can do some other stuff in addition to combat. So yeah, that's cool.
And you say you don't play Dungeons and Dragons with that type of stuff.
I don't, but it's a metaphor. I'm the only person in the game industry that doesn't play D&D.
I was going to say, you're one of the few.
I'm an anomaly.
Yeah.
What about mid-level? What are you doing now to kind of keep your skills sharp? Like, what are you learning? Where are you getting ideas from? Tools are you embracing? Stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, like, there's a lot of ways to go here. Like, I just happen to love games so much that trying every game in the sun is not abhorrent to me. Like, I love indie games. I love, you know, the classics. I love the new ones coming out. I love the AAA, like, big dogs coming out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and I get it, you know, you get good stuff from all of them, right? They're like, you glean things, even from bad games. There's like, there's got to be a nugget in there that's like, wow, that is actually something that's kind of cool. Like, if done in a better light, I bet this could have really shined a lot brighter. Like, I might, you know, I can learn from this. And, you know, funny thing is, like, anything like board games and like, I know Dungeons and Dragons or like role-playing games in terms of that, like, there is like some really cool stuff there in terms of like, wow, that's an interesting system. Like, I'm playing when I have time,
right?
Call of Cthulhu, right? And it's just this crazy system. And I'm like, this is nuts, but it makes sense. And, you know, learning can be had out of it in terms of a systems design, you know, and like, vice versa, you know, it's like, you know, playing, you know, for my, you know, a lot of combat games is like, you know, playing these other combat games and just saying like, wow, this is amazing. I wonder what we can use from this, you know, or just playing like Apex Legends, like, look what they did with that pinging on that system. Like, they ping weapons. So you don't have to, like, you know, mess around with the controller to try to tell a, you know, a teammate where something is, you know, you can just hit this button and it's all set.
All right.
Oh, that's a really smart move. You know, there's a lot of things to be had. And, you know, I think for, you know, GDC talks, you know, aside and all that stuff, because I think that's kind of a given, is that,
got to
learn from other senior, you know, it's just talking, you know, getting out there and just talking to other designers and just like kind of getting, you know, and get out of the whole, like, you know, not complain or like, you know, talk about these situations that were kind of crappy, but actually talk about situations in the design. And try to get into like some learnings and just really, hey, how'd you handle that? You know, and it's amazing like what you can find. Like at GDC, I was talking to some PUBG guys and I was just talking to them and seeing how they work and what they think about. It's really good stuff. So GDC isn't just like going to talks and then going to party. It's actually going and talking to these people and also like getting into the, you know, the nitty gritty of what they were thinking and like, why did they do certain things and what, you know, and all that good stuff. So,
getting different perspectives, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like, oh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. And again, it's more than a job. It's a craft, right? So you want to just keep taking inputs from all different sources and just figure out ways to kind of use those and recalibrate them and think about ways that you can incorporate them into your designs. So yeah, it's great to do all those kind of things.
Yeah. And, you know, and another thing is like mod, keep modding. Like, don't let that stop. Like, I still mod, you know, a fraction of what I used to, right? But I still do it. And it makes you learn still, because you're, you know, like when we were at Disney, we had to learn how to use Unity, right? So it really like makes you grow as a, you know, as just a knowledge base. And then, you know, now I'm back on Unreal 4 and, you know, I'm still learning stuff there, because it's just, you know, Unreal 3 to Unreal 4 is just, there's a whole new, you know, visual scripting system that's different, but it's the same, but it's different, right? And it's just ins and outs, and it just makes you just grow, you know?
Yeah. Like blueprints and figuring out ways to use that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, what about your one or two favorite games or projects you've worked on?
Oh, John, would you be mad if I said it wasn't with you?
Hell no.
No, I mean, Imagine was great and all, but
yeah,
you know, I gotta say, like, making my own game from the bottom up was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's great you did that.
It was just like one of these things. It's just like, the only person I can say that, you know, made this game fail is myself. And I would like to say that it wasn't like obviously I'm not on a yacht out in the Caribbean or anything like that in terms of cash.
Right.
But I did break even and I feel good about that. And what transpired from a motorcycle accident and, a bunch of scotch and rum, you know, made me a better designer. I think that's pretty cool.
What's the name of the game? So people can check it out.
I had to take it off because of, going to NetherRealm. But it was called Pirate Blitz. You could still see it on YouTube.
Pirate Blitz. All right. I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah. Right. Yeah, your YouTube videos, innocuous. Downloads. You can check it out.
Yeah, no downloads. So there's that. You know, every game I could think of something that I was like, that was really cool that I got to design on, right? Mm-hmm. But I got to say, you know, not to be like too tongue in cheek, but the thing something I'm working on now, which I can't talk about,
Okay.
I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? That's cool too, right? Because it's not like, oh, my best two games were 10 years ago and now I'm just, you know what I mean? It's cool that you're excited about what you're working on now.
The best is yet to come and shake, but yeah, I feel like something I'm working on now is pretty outstanding and some good things coming. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So what are you curious about right now in the industry?
Oh man. Well, I mean, with everything with the violence of games, like it comes full circle, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole situation is sad. And I really hope that people understand that, it's a tragedy. That's what's occurring right now. Right. But it's obviously through science and through research and all these people have put time and energy behind this, that games are not a cause for these things.
Right. Right.
And
they're an easy scapegoat,
right,
that people try and use, but yeah, it's
exactly. And it's an easy target, right? And sadly, that's a situation that it feels like people like to hide behind. And sadly, we are we don't want to be a shield, but we're being used as a shield for people's political, gain.
The ESRB, Electronic Software Ratings Board.
Yep.
You remember that, right? Or they're still around, aren't they? They should be. I think they are.
Yeah, they're totally around.
I remember actually when they, just time for the Wayback Machine here, when they actually formed, right? This was back in like 95, 96, and they were establishing out in New York. I was at Viacom at the time, and I was working on Beavis and Butthead. And they're like, they sent me and this other guy, like, go out and see what this is about, help them out, whatever. So I remember flying out to New York, going to the office, and they had all these like little cubicles set up with people watching videotapes of games and having little sheets of paper to write things and stuff. And it was just kind of surreal to be there at the very beginning of the ESRB. And then they didn't know how to classify stuff, right? Because they were doing this, say, for the first time. So like with Beavis and Butthead, they're farting and burping and doing Beavis and Butthead. So they're like, they had to come up with a classification for that. So the Comic Mischief tag that the ESRB uses for stuff was created, to my knowledge, at least, because of Beavis and Butthead. And we had to have some way to kind of call that out in the game. And it was just surreal being in this place, having these, 40-year-old people watching these videotapes of gameplay, writing these little notes and stuff. But that was the beginning of the ESRB. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I love the Wayback Machine, John. So I'm a big fan.
I got lots of Wayback stories. So, yeah. It'll be with somebody a days.
The ESRB made me put stickers in about like 1,000 boxes because Hector Sanchez.
Hector.
Yeah, we had to put a sticker. He's like, Jay, you worked on this game. It was for Rise and Fall Civilization at War with Stainless Steel.
Yeah.
The ESRB ranked it the wrong way because we didn't disclose everything in the game.
Yeah.
Midway's like, there was actually this element in the game. I think it was like blood and gore. So
right.
We had to change the ESRB rating. So we had to put stickers on all the boxes.
How'd you get roped into that?
I don't know. I don't even, I was just like.
Hey, he worked on the game. He's got to do the stickers too.
Yeah. You got me when I was weak.
Yeah. That's funny. We got to put the new sticker on. And Hector's over at Epic now. Epic, I saw him at GDC. Yeah. I got to get him on the show. Good guy.
He's probably got a ton of good stories.
Yeah. What about thoughts on AR and VR? Because some people are like, it's too early. Other people are like, I love it. And, where are you at in that spectrum?
I am new to the scene on VR. I really do enjoy it. The funny thing is I got to have a lot of energy in the tank to play those games. Like super hot. Yeah.
Super hot. You're like, it's like a workout.
I'm exhausted, right? I mean, but they're really like cool. I mean, I have a great time. I mean, I do catch myself saying wow quite a bit. I'm like, oh wow, this is so cool.
Yeah. Do you have a Vive or what do you got? A Quest or what do you got?
I have a Rift S.
Okay.
So with the Rift S, I can do the Steam games, I can do their Oculus platform.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all the games. So
cool.
Beat Saber, super hot. Like, yeah, tell me something new, right? And then I played the Vader Immortal. I'm not a VR connoisseur yet, but I did when Vader did walk up to me and he's like bearing down, like, okay, let's just tell everybody right now, John, I'm 5'7". Everyone kind of bears down on me. But when Vader bears down on me,
yeah,
that was like, okay, there's something here. Like, I felt like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Darth Vader is looking down at me and like going to, you know,
gonna get me
right here. Right. So I thought that was really awesome. So
yeah. Had like an emotional reaction, right? You're like,
there's definitely some emotional reaction there. Like, yeah. Super hot, like dodging bullets, like your Neo and all that good stuff. Like, that's super enjoyable. There's definitely, it's just, you know, it's personally, it's like, I think the platform is waiting for a Super Mario, right? It's waiting for the one game that everyone can play. And I think Beat Saber was close, but there's gotta be one game that's going to be like, you can't miss it. And also the price point is still pretty high. And rigs. Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm a nerd. So I love my rigs.
Mm-hmm.
I build my own PC and all that good stuff.
Right.
Like, that's expensive. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's super expensive, but it's expensive. So somebody that is just like, oh, I want to play Beat Saber. So I guess, you know, the Quest, I think, is the best bet for a lot of people on that. Right.
Yeah.
Cause it's all built in.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a much lower price point. You don't have all the cables and stuff like that. You know, there's trade-offs on fidelity. Yeah. I talk about the Quest. I need to pick one up just to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I love my Oculus Rift S. I do. I really do, because it's like, oh, I can play any of these games. Anything I want to do, I'm pretty much there.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're kind of, you know, a little bit limited with the Quest.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I did put one on and it was like no cord on the back. And I was like, okay, that is pretty big. That is.
Yeah.
You can get like one thing that really stinks is like you're dodging a bullet in a lightsaber battle, and all of a sudden you trip on your, you know, a cord.
Right, right.
You know, one thing is like I'm kind of limited in space, so I'm punching my, you know, book stand down.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that if I had, you know, with no wires, I could do it anywhere. That's a huge gain. So
Yeah, definitely.
Go in the Wayback Machine and tell my previous self, maybe that was the better option. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. And then like AR, I want something worthwhile there. I have not seen anything like in terms of, you know, this is the best game ever. I mean.
Yeah. Right. Something that's really exciting around AR and it's integral into the experience.
Right. I haven't seen it yet. I really haven't seen it yet. Like, not saying I won't. Maybe, you know, probably tomorrow after you release this. And everyone hears me say that, like something will release and going, oh, what a fool. But as of right now, in my, you know, point of view, I haven't, it's all about software, you know? It's like, if you don't have anything pushing it, you're not probably going to be able to accomplish that goal, you know?
Probably the closest thing is Pokemon Go.
Right.
You know, and that was a couple of years ago. So I'm sure you have a lot of these, but kind of like, tell me it's a funny or odd story from working in the game industry.
Oh. No,
like, where do I start?
Yeah, you know, John, I'm trying to leave you out of these. That's what I'm going to try to do. So here's a good one.
Okay.
So this is back in Boston. I'm at Stainless Steel. And
take the car to the harbor.
Take the car to the harbor. And then harbor. Or the yard. And then
get wicked. Get hammered. I got hammered last night.
I did get hammered quite a bit in Boston. So one thing was, so they go, hey, studio-wide meeting. They bring us all in.
Uh-oh.
And they go, hey, we have a security breach in our game. So we're locking it down. Mm-hmm. So why don't you, as a studio, go take a vacation?
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, all the veterans were like, wait. But JJ, only you know, a year into the game industry, said, hey, vacation. Let's go. Casinos. So we went to a casino. I forgot where exactly, but we and a bunch of my buddies at the studio went on a vacation.
All right.
And we went and oh God.
Studio lockdown casino trip.
Yeah, a bunch of like Rockstar North guys, you know, New England guys.
Yeah.
Like, so we all went and I might have been overserved. You know, they call it that.
Right.
You know, I got overserved and I pretty much blew my entire rent check. and I'm like, it's all good. I have a job I'm coming back to and I'll make it up.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
So after a couple Tylenol and aspirin later,
yeah,
we get into work and, you know, it's like, hey, we're syncing to the new build. It's like, hey, how was your trip? I'm like, oh man, it got crazy at this, oh my gosh. And they're like, hey, there's a studio wide meeting.
Oh shit.
And this is like within, I mean, sadly I do this by build times. So it would take roughly about 5 minutes to 15 minutes to pull down a new build.
Yeah.
And it was halfway through. So it was like either seven, whatever minutes.
Yeah.
Of the start of the day. And then also we walk in and they're like, yeah, we're closing down.
You're like, damn it.
Pack up your shit.
Shit.
Ugh. We're out of here. And I'm like, wait, I am broke. I got nothing.
What happened to my paid vacation?
Oh, and it gets better because then they go, take whatever you want. People are like QA people are raiding the game area, like the game library.
Yeah.
People are pulling video cards out of the computers. It's pandemonium.
Yeah, right.
I just need I need to pull some these textures down that I made for the.
I need some for my reel.
My textures, these shit textures that are like
over broke.
Oh god, it was.
It's like the jackals. Everyone's
crazy. It was crazy. Damn. I've never experienced that since. So they're like, here's your check of your leftover vacation days.
Yeah.
And
good luck.
Good luck. And I'm like, I don't have any vacation days left. So anyway, I'll leave it on that cliffhanger, how I got out of that one. But yeah.
I'll have you back.
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of the plan.
Episode two.
Exactly. So yeah, that was kind of nuts.
Yeah. Don't go to casinos when they have a studio lockdown. That's
yeah, there you go. Hey, this, you know what? Here's a free vacation. Don't go to casinos. Just stay home and just enjoy.
Work on your resume and your reel whenever they
exactly.
say
exactly. Work on your resume and your reel. Exactly.
Get your ducks maybe in a row. Now the shoe's going to drop.
Exactly.
So you got another one, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the closure of Wide Load. Disney closes down.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, the funny thing is we thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, here, but we tried to help another studio ship a game. That didn't work. Mm. And we were pretty much at a soft launch in our game, right?
Yep.
And we were like, oh, we're good. We have a game in soft launch. We're gonna like get sort of pass over us the creeping death.
Right. 25 people, low burn rate.
Right. And then like Dan Lone is like, hey, they're overseas now. The firings are overseas and they passed over us. We must have been safe. We're safe now.
Like a storm.
Exactly. It's like a storm. But when they did close us down, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, but we're like, well, there is a full liquor cabinet. And we're not leaving anything, but no one gets left behind. One last story is just between you and I when Kingdom Hearts was going at full speed.
Yeah.
Frustrations were being had on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
The studio was kind of coming to me and going, hey, what's going on with, everything that's going on up top? Like, what are the leads saying? What is everyone saying up there? So you were not having the best day and you and I start talking and we got in an argument and then all of a sudden and then we start dying laughing because we didn't know how to argue with one another. And then we're just like, what the? It was funny because it was like, Jay, what do you think is going on? And I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. And then we were like going at it for like, I think 10 seconds in terms of like going back and forth and just going, well, what do you think? You know, and then all of a sudden we just start. I've never had that experience. Just like two friends just completely just cracking up because it's just like we're mad at the same thing. And we're just like, we have nowhere to vent it to. So we just kind of came at each other. It was funny.
No, it was funny. And it was a pressure cooker at times, right? Because we're trying to figure this game out and trying to figure out what other stakeholders want, right? So there were all these at multiple locations and it was a pressure cooker. And we were having some challenges and tempers did rise. And then all of a sudden we're like, what? We're yelling at each other. This is stupid.
Exactly.
We start laughing.
This is dumb.
So what game are you playing now that you're excited about? Is there anything out there that you're like,
You know, it's like one game that I am excited about that isn't out yet is Cyberpunk 2077.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm a big fan of CD Projekt Red. They're like they're just like, so yeah, it's just like, it's one of those things. Like, I think it's needed, you know, CD Projekt, you know, CD Projekt Red and all that good stuff. Like those guys are like really, I would say they're on top of their game, and it's always exciting to see what they have in store, and they have the hype train fully behind them. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Keanu.
Yeah. You got Keanu. I mean,
yeah, he's got a motorcycle company. How can you not love the guy?
I know. Right. I would love to have one of his.
Arch.
We'll tell you what, there's probably another podcast for motorcycle stuff, but
yeah, man. It's my new podcast. Yeah.
Oh man, get me on there. I could tell you all about not much. Anyway, so yeah, that one, I'm a big fan of, like, you know, shooters and whatnot. So definitely enjoying, you know, Apex Legends. I am probably the oldest person on Fortnite at this point. I do enjoy that still. And then also, you know, the funny thing is, like, you know, being a designer, I always test out like indie games. Like there was Sky on the mobile platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a game that I really enjoy, Oxygen Not Included, from Clay. You know, so I do it, you know, that's a, you know, real-time strategy game with, like, it's got personality for days, you know. So
check
all
that
over
out.
The place. Yeah, it's fun. It's a really fun game. Hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that, and then I'm trying to, pretty much what how the day goes is I'm like, oh, I got time. I'm gonna go play a game. Does anyone want to play Apex or Fortnite with me? Nope. Okay. I'm going to go play these, you know, more in-depth games because, you know, those are more games and you got a buddy or you're not going to have a good time. You're not have as good of a time as like playing with your buddies. So I will go and play like Pillars of Eternity 2 or, you know, this Oxygen Not Included essentially right now. Or if I'm got some, you know, gas in the tank, I'll play a VR game. Which lately.
And the whole online thing is about who you play with, right? So it's.
Oh, absolutely.
Playing with friends and not 13-year-olds swearing like pirates with Tourette's.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, the good old Xbox Live situation. But, you know, one thing that Borderlands 3 is doing, which I thought was really unique, was they're doing split screen again, which I thought was kind of fun. You know, they're just bringing it back because I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. So good on them for doing that. And I'll be playing that as well, but when it comes out.
Tough to do technically, too, because all the engineering that goes into doing split screen and keeping frame rate and everything. Yeah, that's always...
The almighty frame rate, John. The almighty frame rate.
FPS. All about the FPS.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything I should have asked you about but didn't?
You know, you run a tight ship, John. I'm not going to say you missed anything, for sure. Okay. So it's one thing is, you know, for... You know, new designers that want to come in the industry is, and I've said this, but I just want to, you know, really push this point home, which is that A, take anything you can get, including QA, and then take no for an answer, but don't let it stop you, right? It's like people are going to say no to you and you got to be ready for it and you got to persevere. You know, when I lost my job at Disney and I went over to NetherRealm, NetherRealm didn't pick me up right at first. They, you know, I think secretly, they wanted me to sweat a little bit. So I was looking for jobs and, you know, a lot of doors closed in my face and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't personal. It's just, I wasn't a great fit for their team at the time. Right.
Yeah.
So one thing I always tell people, like new people coming in is just like, you know, keep your chin up and keep going, you know, and don't let it get to you. And you got to have thicker skin and, you know, that will come with time.
Right. It's a tough industry and there's a lot of competition, but if you stick with it and do a good job and work hard and have a good attitude, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hate to be like, hey, dad, what do I got to do? Work hard, you know, tell the truth. You know, it's one of those things, like, it's kind of corny, but it is kind of truthful as well, right? It's, you just got to keep going. And it's easy to get, you know, especially with people, you know, with social media in terms of like people saying how well they're doing and, you know, people saying, oh, look at what I'm doing. I got this job. And it's like, it's easy to get down on yourself. It's like, oh, they got a job, but I didn't. What am I doing wrong here? They're so successful. But the thing is, it's like, you know, that's their journey. That's not yours. And you need to keep going and don't let that get to you. And don't, you know, don't sacrifice your dreams because you had a bad week, month or whatever. Just, you know, even a bad year, right? Just keep, you know, if you really want to be in this industry, you got to like
persevere. Yeah. Cool. So like, where can people find you online? Website, Twitter, things like that.
Oh, I got all of that good stuff.
Yeah. I'll put it in my show notes.
Put it, you know, check out the links below. Yeah. And Twitter is at Fireball with the PHYREBALL. My Twitter will not be, you know, too exciting. It's only happy things. I try not to be negative on it. So it's only happy times. So if you're looking for like someone angry or political or anything like that, I'm not going to be your cup of tea. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm more of just like, hey, here's a funny thing I saw, or I like this about a game, or I like this person, or, you know, coming soon, I listen to me on this awesome podcast. You know, that's pretty much what my Twitter handle's about.
Okay.
So yeah, it's that. And then, you know, I got a website, but it's more just the, I have it just because it's good to have for any designer to have a website. So, yep.
Okay. Well, cool. Appreciate being on the show, JJ. I think we had some good stuff covered here, and yeah.
Oh yeah. It's been a blast, man. Going down, a little bit down memory lane there for sure.
Yeah.
But, thanks for taking the time and doing this. I think this is like a really, you know what? Like if this was available when I was looking for a job, this would have been an awesome, awesome tool to have.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Game Dev Advice, the Game Developers Podcast. If you found it interesting or helpful, please leave a 5-star review. I'd really appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe. I have a lot of great episodes coming out. As always, I want to hear from you, the game development community. So give me a call at 224-484-7733 or reach out on the website, gamedevadvice.com. I want to know your struggles, your questions, and your ideas. Since the podcast is really about you, the fellow game developer, and our game development community. Thanks and take care.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.